where the passage that was read, taken from Romans chapter 5, chapter 15, verse 5, verse 13, and verse 33. I'm going to ask if those verses could be read again. Romans 15, verse 5.
Now the God of patience and consolation.
Now the God of patience and consolation.
Grant you to be like-minded.
Grant you to be like-minded.
One toward another. According to Christ Jesus.
I want you to notice this. Verse 5 again.
Now the God of patience.
Now he's a God of patience.
And consolation.
He's a God of consolation.
Grant you to be like-minded.
Step down now to verse 13.
Now the God of hope.
Now first he was the God of patience and consolation. But now he's described as the God of hope. Step down to verse 33.
Now the God of peace be with you all.
It was consolation and hope, but now he's also the God of peace. Now notice here that in one chapter, these different designation, description of God is given, just in one chapter. It is important that as men and women trying to serve God, that we know God and understand him. It's not sufficient that we believe that God exists. Now that is important, that is the foundation. But that alone will not enable us to serve God and to serve him properly. To serve God properly, to go through life having the faith you are to have in God and conducting our lives the way we are to, we need to know God and to have a proper understanding of the Almighty God. In the Old Testament, while both Old and New Testament bring God to us, describe God, but in the Old Testament we see more of the justice and the righteousness of God. That is the dominant attributes of God that we see in the Old Testament is righteousness and his justice. We see the Almighty God destroying almost the entire humanity with the flood. We see the Almighty God killing instantly Nadab and Abihu because they did not follow his instruction for worship. And we can go on and on through the Old Testament where the justice and the holiness of God comes out. Then when we come now to the New Testament, while we see some of that, but we see mostly the grace of God, the mercy of God. It's not that God has changed or that God is different. It's the same God that manifests himself in the Old as well as the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Almighty God did not have, may I word it this way, the avenue through which the Almighty God could demonstrate more of his mercy was not yet available. That avenue is Jesus Christ. By the time we come to the New Testament, that avenue was well in place. So in the Old Testament, we see the multipurposeness of God manifesting himself, itself. Did I say multipurposeness? Yes. That is the many-sided God. The Almighty God that is able to rise to any occasion. The God that was, you know, there is in English literature, the character that was known as the man for all seasons. The man for all seasons. If my memory serves me right, he was one of the character that served one of the kings of Israel. And I think since then, literature has been written about him. The man for all seasons. When the Almighty God said to Moses, when Moses wanted to tell the Israelite about God and wanted a name. Why a name? Because under the Old Testament, name tells the attributes, the characters, and the peculiarity of any person. So Moses says, what name shall I tell them? The Almighty God said, tell them that I am that I am. And included in those few words is the fact that God is the God that could rise to almost any occasion, to almost any situation faced by the Israelites. And I learned this while saying umpteen years ago that circumstance does not make the man, it reveals the man. And that is a fact. I have illustrated here that when I was growing up, people were migrating to England. To this day, the only aunt I have alive, my father's sister, in fact, she was the Washbelly, still alive, celebrating her 90th birthday few days ago. And when I was growing up, she had many names for me. Of course, those names, all of them surround eating. Because I love food. But as I was illustrating with the fact that circumstances does not make the man, it reveals the man, is that along with my aunt, the thousands of Jamaicans who migrated, there were people in my district. I remember a relative of mine who had one son. And he grew up to be a wonderful young man, but he migrated and nobody ever heard from him since. I mean, one child. Now, country people usually say, the water changes. That means the sail and the sea to go to England, that changed them. No, they were wrong. Totally incorrect. The water didn't change him. Traveling to a foreign country didn't change him. It only brought out what was in him. What did I say? Circumstance does not make the man, it reveals the man. That is a fact. You know, I'm a friend. But since he become a millionaire, the money changed him. No, the money didn't change him. It only brought out what was in him. Well, let us get back to the lesson. When the Almighty God said to Moses to tell the children of Israel that I am, that I am, the Almighty God was helping Israel through Moses to understand that the different situation, the different circumstances that the Israelite will meet as they travel from Egypt to the promised land, in each of those unpleasant situations, in each of those pleasant situations, when the Israelite face enemy that seems insurmountable, the Almighty God will on each of them rise to the occasion. Circumstance does not make the man, it reveals the man. Not only for you and me, as we are confronted by the various situations in life, do you know that sometimes we are surprised by what comes out of us? Sorry, want a better Taiwan, I mean. Yes. A lot of times you look back and you wonder, how did I go through that? Some terrible situation through which you have gone. And look back and remember what you have gone through. You wonder, of course, the Almighty God is the one. But there are also situations that you have gone through and you did not stand up well to it. Circumstance does not make the man, it reveals the man. The Almighty God was telling Israel that is the God who can rise to any occasion. One of the ways, in fact, the name Elohim that describes God, it is the only divine name that is used from Genesis 1 verse 1 to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. There are some 12 names that are used in the Old Testament to describe God. These names were not just given so. One of the interesting things about God's name, it's not only the meaning in these names, but the situation under which these names were given. That is in itself is fascinating to just follow and study. When the Almighty God, many of us, no, when the Almighty God gave the name Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, and the situation under which it was given. But I find also interesting. What I'm still on is the fact that we have to know God before we can serve Him successfully. So don't just come to church and feel that because you believe there is a God, that is sufficient. You have to know and understand God, or else you or I can spend a lifetime thinking we are serving God and we have missed out on it. Because while we believe that he is, we did not know him or understand him. And to protect Israel against that problem of not knowing God at different situations, different intervals, different stages, under different situations, different circumstances, the Almighty God would use name. You hear people talk about there's nothing in a name. For you, there might not be anything in a name, but for the Almighty God, name is quite revealing. The instructive, one of the instructive things, as I've said, about God's many names is the situation under which God revealed the various names. The word Elohim the instructive aspect of that name is El, which in Hebrew stands for power, might, the ability to accomplish things. That is in just
then,
as I've said, this situation under which the Almighty God revealed these names is interesting. And one of the interesting names is El Shaddai, God Almighty. Now, Almighty it's not so much talking. It's not talking so much about power and might. That is definitely there. Because power, might, omnipotence, all of that is contained in the syllable El for God. But when we come to God Almighty, the situation under which that name was first revealed to God's people, of course to Abraham, was the situation where the Almighty God had made a promise to Abraham that he would make Abram's seed as the sands of the sea, or the seashore. Years passed by, and of course, the Almighty God, on another occasion, going to make another promise to Abraham that through Abraham's seed, through Abraham's lineage, the Almighty God would bless all the nation of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say that promise was made when Abraham was 70. Abraham 75, that promise was not fulfilled. Abraham's 80, that promise was not fulfilled. Remember, through your seed, that is your children, shall all the nation of the earth be blessed. and I'm going to make your seed multiply, that they will be so plentiful like the sands of the sea. But the man and his wife getting older and older, and the promise was not fulfilled. May I? But Abraham was still looking forward to God. He did not lose faith in it. The years passed and Abraham had no child. He and Sarah, his wife, were advancing towards older and older age. And God's promise still did not fulfill. You know what? It reached the point where they passed the age where they could multiply and have children. And brothers and sisters, it was precisely at that time, that critical point, when it was from the human thinking, from the human calculation, it was at that point when these two old people passed the age when they should have or could have children. It was exactly at that time. Are we all there? That the Almighty God did something. At that point, the Almighty God changed Abraham's name from Abraham to Abraham. That's one. The Almighty God, at that point, for the first time, revealed the name El Shaddai, God Almighty. Let us hear Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Let us hear that passage.
And when Abram was 90 years old, and nine.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. When Abraham was 99 years old, again, from human calculation, the possibility of Sarah, his wife, conceiving was nil. So at that time, the Almighty God knew the time had all the passage had come for him, the Almighty God who can rise to any situation. God going to fulfill the promise now. Abraham was 90 and 9. Read.
The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God.
That's the first time that this name is used. But notice the critical time. In fact, the concept in the name is, may I? Remember, in A, we have might, power, omnipotent. In A, that is, Elohim, God, as I said, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, that's the only name that is used for God. All the other divine names that it has never been in all of chapter 1 and part of chapter 2 until we reach chapter 2, I believe verse 4. Why only him? Because this is associated with power, might, ability. And you see, that power, might, ability is demonstrated in the creation of the world, of man, of things. But then the Almighty God had to move beyond just raw power. The Almighty God now had to move towards, he wanted his people to know him better and to understand him better. And just might and power alone does not do that.
So this is why now he revealed to Abraham that he is God Almighty. May I? Among the concept and meaning and connotation in the word Almighty is the power or the one able to set aside or to do violence to the law of nature, so that nature can do things that it has never done.
Wait. How does that relate to Abraham having a child? Well, the laws of nature said after man and woman pass certain age, they would not, conception will not take place.
But El Shaddai, the God Almighty, can reverse the law of nature. El Shaddai, God Almighty, can ask any law to stand still and let God have his way. Any law, God can ask them, command them to take a break, so that God's will and purpose can have its way. I wish time would permit me to illustrate with some other. In fact, we may one day have a study, probably a Bible study, where we will look not just on the various names, Jehovah Nishi, Jehovah Makbi, and all this, but the situation under which the Almighty God revealed those names. Yes, did I say that in the Old Testament we see the multi-purpose God? Yes, I said that. The Almighty God. In fact, we are going to look at Paul and see some of Paul's description of God. Remember when I started, I asked that Romans chapter 15, was it verse 5, verse 13, and verse 33 that I asked be read? And I think those were the texts that the brother read before the lesson was called up. And in those three passages, the Almighty God describes himself in three different ways. We want to see how Paul described God. May I? While God is our creator, our sustainer, our provider, God wants to be many other things to us and for us. God wants his people to know that he is the God who can rise to any situation that come in our lives. May I?
I believe some of what will be said in the lesson today may come up. I'm not even sure. And that is one of the things we will see in some of these passages and some of these characters is the fact that the men who faithfully serve God, men and women, they have the ability to turn liability into asset. Truly, God, I can throw to you Joseph. While Joseph was in prison, Joseph didn't give up hope. We see Saul. While, not Saul, David. While David was a fugitive, he didn't give up hope. I mean, David was faced with situation. In fact, not just David. Joseph was faced with situation that many young men would try to hang themselves, kill themselves. David was faced with situation. When you have the state, the leader of the country, the king, against you, then my God, your future is dark. But these are characters that because of God,
I think it was Brother. Sorry.
I have to come back. I think it was Brother Pound made a few statements about the statement.
I was doing some study and said, there will be a lesson on that. Those two words. But God.
But God. You see, brothers and sisters, when men like Joseph, David, and many others face insurmountable, negative, hopeless situation, they still hung on to the hope that was in God. And what we see in so many Bible characters, is it Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is it Daniel in the lion's den? What we see about, is it Paul? Is it Peter? What we see about these characters?
You know, Peter could easily well reason that Herod had killed James, I think. And when they had him in prison, he could say, well, my situation is hopeless. But no,
they still hung on to the hope that was in believing in God. But God. That's where all the difference lies. But God, when God entered the picture, good things usually happen. Good things usually happen. Paul to Paul.
Wait, you know, a lot of times you and I, we can hinder God. We can, God may have planned to bless you or me,
truly.
But sometimes because of lack of faith, are we all there? Sometimes because of lack of commitment, God has to withhold that blessing. We have a good situation in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. Quick. 1 Samuel 13, 11 through 14. Let us hear it.
And Samuel said, what hast thou done?
Stop there again, start again. And Samuel said, the brother is reading from 1 Samuel 13. Verse 11 through 14.
And Samuel said, what hast thou done?
What have you done? Read.
And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not.
Because these things were written for our learning. What had happened, brothers and sisters? not that Saul committed some murder. It's not that Saul denied God. Samuel had told Saul that before he entered the battle between Israel and the Philistines, the sacrifice must be offered. That's right. That's simple. Samuel said, look here, I'm taking a journey. I'm coming back. Let's say he said the third day. Now, it was Samuel's duty to offer the sacrifice before Israel entered the battle. He asked the king to wait. But out of lack of faith, out of impatience, out of lack of trust in God, Saul and the Israelites get fidgety. You know, a lot of time we get fidgety. You know, a lot of time we set time for God, and if God doesn't meet our time, we take things in our own hands. And in many cases, we suffer consequences. So this is the situation when Saul waits. It's like Saul look at his watch and say, time for him to come. How come he no come yet? In another few minutes, he look at his watch. How come he no come yet? And then he told them to bring all the instruments. And he acted the role that Samuel should have done. And it was right then that Samuel came. So Samuel came. And say what he said here again, brother.
What hast thou done?
What have you done?
And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not.
Brothers and sisters, when the Almighty God gives you a new instruction, let us hold on to it. Let us not let what's going on around us fade us. What's going on at your workplace? What's going on in society?
Always drive me back here, brother. Thank you. Yes, whenever I move, get me back here. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, let us not do that. You know.
Quite many times over the past many months, I have to ask myself, just by myself, what is happening to the world? Because when I listen to some of our North American TV station and what is going on, you know, and see the direction that the world is taking. The subject of same-sex relationship is only one of the subjects. But that is quite... You hear so much about that in these developed countries. That's what determines everything. And it's like, when you hear 70% of the population of a country that's supposed to be a religious country, believing that nothing wrong with that, it's okay. And my God, what if you don't see, it's that little by little, the Christian with our belief in God's morality going to be squeezing until wrong begin to look right. Because when on the bus, most of the people believe this. When at your workplace, most of the people believe this. When every news you hear, most of the people believe it. You are going to begin to think it's time for me to adopt. It's time for me to give up my foolishness. No, what the Bible teaches is the wisdom of God. And it will never change.
So we must make sure we hold on. It matters not. Saul didn't have that faith like many of us don't have. Because some of his soldiers scattered out of fear, he decided to give up. You were in 1 Samuel chapter 13. What verse are you?
Verse 11. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me.
The people were scattered from me. Wait. Are you a brother here? Can you stand alone on your belief? Are you here? Can you at your workplace still believe in the certainty of God's word? Or are you a man or a woman who is easily swept off your feet by the majority? You have to examine that, you know. Truly. Because in one form or the other, the test is coming. The people scatter. My God, you are the leader. Still hold on to your belief. Read, brother.
And that thou camest not.
And you didn't come. Mean you didn't come on time.
Within the day.
Wait. He's blaming Samuel to you. You see, Samuel came within the time specified. It's just that as God would have it, Samuel came almost at the end of the time. But he came within the time. What is under consideration here is Saul's lack of faith and Saul's fear. Read, brother.
And that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash.
Here again. Oh my God. Read, brother. Time going.
Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal.
Brothers and sisters, please don't ever out of convenience try to address God's dictate to you. Don't. Saul took up on himself what was not his prerogative. Read, brother.
The Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord.
You see, he had it wrong. I wish I could spend time. He had it wrong. The Philistines will come down upon us at Gilgal, and I did not offer the sacrifice. You have it wrong. Samuel, forget them. Saul, forget the Philistines. Just stick to what God says. That is the key. He turned it around. The Philistine will come upon me and because I did not offer the sacrifice. You have no right to offer the sacrifice. That's not what God gives you to do. Just stick to what God gives you to do. Read on.
I forced myself there.
I like the choice word he used to describe himself. In other words, I didn't want to do it, but, you know, I had to because you were late and my arm is scattered. Read on.
And offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul.
Now, this is what I came. You're at verse 14 now.
13.
Okay, read on.
Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commandeth thee. For now would the Lord...
You remember how comes? I brought you to this passage, and you might be saying, Brother Mitchell, you took so many turns, street,
that you lost. Well, I found you back. Why I came to this passage is on the fact that sometimes we hinder God's blessing. That's right. Many of us. God sometimes have a plan for you, for me, that we don't know of because he's not going to tell us. God sees that you are going certain direction and it's good direction. And God have planned that if you continue in that direction, he'll bless you. But before long, something come to test your faith and you fail. And for that reason, God withhold his blessings. That's what happened here. Read on.
Which he commandeth thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom.
God would have established. Wait.
You know, after end, we reach on about one third of the lesson that I planned in this, but it won't be wasted.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Yes. I keep pointing out that so many times God has positive plan for us. And God watches and God is pleased with the direction that we are taking because of our faith, our commitment, the manner of our lives. But not long after some tests come and we fail. And God had to withhold that blessing. That's what happened here. What the brother is reading. You know, reach verse. You were reading 14. Are you still at 13?
End of verse 30.
Read.
But now thy kingdom shall not continue.
God is saying here. You see all that you and I read in Old and New Testament about David. There would have been no David who take that dominant role in God's scheme of things had Saul remained committed and faithful. That's right. When the Almighty God said in verse 13, I would have established your kingdom, the Almighty God was looking for a man that his plan in Jesus Christ could be tied to biologically. It was tied to Abraham, and Abraham live up to God's expectation in terms of his faith. And then now, 400-500 years after Abraham,
1,000.
Yes, after Abraham, come the period when the Almighty God wants to further reinforce that biological tie to tie Jesus Christ coming into the world. So he was looking for a family, for a man he could tie that to, that person biological link. And when the Almighty God speak here in the passage the brother is reading, 1 Samuel chapter 13, and verse 13 and 14, God is saying, I had in mind to use you, to establish your kingdom, where for the rest of my dealing with humanity, they will always hear about Saul of Israel, King Saul of Israel. But in verse 14, what he said,
but now thy kingdom shall not continue.
You hear? Your kingdom shall not continue. Many times we forfeit our blessings because we fail God. The Almighty God wants to, I want to show how to Paul, God is a God of peace. Peace. And just we want to not now. I'm closing. we want to take up the word peace. What does it mean in scriptural context? What is peace? And then from peace, we're going to see, look at God is not only a God of peace, he's a God of hope. But we will most likely take up this lesson Sunday coming, and you don't want to miss this. The Almighty God wants to be many things for us and to us. As God's children, God wants to be there positively for you. That's right. God wants to be there to encourage you, to strengthen you, to give you the peace that you need, to give you the strength that when the different situation comes in your life as liabilities, the Almighty God can help you transform them into assets. That's the God that we have seen unfolding himself in the Old Testament. But Sunday we will take up more on this. Just remember, to serve God properly, you have to know and understand God. Are you here today? You're not a child of God. You can invite Jesus Christ in your life through obedience. Obedience in belief. Obedience in repentance. Obedience in confessing Christ's name. Obedience in getting baptized with a resolve to live for Christ. Are you here as a child of God who has backslidden and grow weak? Then you can recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Not tomorrow. Today. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Jesus Christ is calling you. He's calling you in love. He's calling you in mercy. He's calling you in patience. You need to respond to that call. God wants to be many good and great and positive things for you. You notice the Bible? All things work together for good to them that love God. All things. So it doesn't matter how negative, how unpleasant the thing that come in your life seems. God can rise to the occasion for you if you will give him the chance. If you will be one of those men or women that give Jesus Christ control over your life through your obedience to him. Today you can take that step in inviting Christ in your life. As we stand and sing, Jesus Christ calls.